unfold and lowered their bows. Jenny bent over him. "Charles! Charles!" His eyes rolled away and he lay quiet. Someone gentled Jenny aside, but she saw Charles return, his eyes open, try to focus. The crowd helped sit him up. Charles rubbed his head.
"Is there a doctor here?" someone shouted. "I'm fine."
He listed, woozy. Joseph Sloane, Charles's new brother-in-law and boss, clapped his back as others stood him up, brushed off his dark pants of the cornmeal, and flicked the grains from white blousy sleeves. He'd removed his coat with the dancing heat. Others urged Charles toward his new wife, and she reached for his hand. He grabbed and held it.
"Are you all right?"
She shouted in his ear to be heard above the music that had begun again. His answer was to hold her elbow, turn her out toward the crowd, and bellow,
"It's the father's dance with the bride!"
Her father moved forward as her husband handed Jenny off. One of her twin brothers took her mother's hand to dance. To Jenny, Charles said,
"I need fresh air. Don't feel so good. Be back soon, promise."
He rubbed his neck, and Joseph Sloane walked out beside him, steadying him.
"Is that blood on the back of his head?"
Her father began the now much slower waltz, as Jenny twisted, trying to watch the two men disappear outside.
"He'll be fine. Just took a little spill."
She nodded, tried to let the music slow her racing pulse. She didn't tell her father what she'd seen that quickened her heart. Something in Charles Pickett's countenance had changed. Chapter 1. Sharing All That Matters. 6 years later. Spring in the Willamette Valley is rain-soaked grasses pierced by early blooms. "And then my heart with pleasure fills and dances with the daffodils." Jenny Pickett quoted Wordsworth to her almost 3-year-old boy Douglas as they walked toward Pringle Creek in Salem. The short, white-petaled wildflowers dotted the fields, colorful essentials breaking the soil and the winter malaise, and the pall from President Lincoln's assassination the year before. In a rare respite, Jenny and Douglas followed the path toward the tributary of the Willamette. Jenny spoke the word in her head, Will-am-it, a pronunciation people said didn't match with its spelling. But spelling had never been Jenny's gift. Mother and son walked beside the mighty river, watched the commerce of ferry crossings, steamships, and small river craft gliding on its surface. Dougie was never one to settle easily, and Jenny gripped him tighter at his urge to pull away, caught his emerald eyes that matched her own. "If we are very quiet when we reach the creek, we'll see a surprise. You can look through the brass and glass. Would you like that?" That slowed his resistance, and he reached around to grab at the quilt draped over his mother's arm, the telescope safe beneath it.
"You let me?"
"Yes, careful." He matched his pace to hers, skipping but still letting himself be held. They stopped to look at beetle tracks in the sand, listened as a hawk screeched in the distance. Jenny was pleased she'd left her hoops at home, as she could feel her son press against her side, his closeness warm and welcome through her blue-dyed linen skirt. They reached the shoreline, and Dougie nestled among the willows, then stood, wiggling as a child does. Jenny patted the quilt, urging him to sit, to lie on bellies side by side. For a moment, a thread on the nine patch gained his interest. Then he sat up and lifted the quilt to seek what bugs or twigs beneath it might need his scant attention. The Sherrill brass and glass lay beside Jenny, the draws already out so she could quickly put the eyepiece to her face and then to his when the time was right. She debated about a practice look, decided against it. Like all almost 3-year-old boys, he could be a scamp about other people's things. She still taught boundaries and borders, yours and mine and others being concepts in formation. A warm breeze brushed her cheeks. Jenny had witnessed the promised surprise 3 times now. On the first occasion, she'd been uncertain of what she'd really seen and didn't have the Sherrill Jenny's brother George had brought all the way from...